Today is a very special day in that we're kicking off this new year. But I know a lot of people know Michelle, and she's coming to speak today, but I want to introduce her. Come here. I want to introduce her like this, a little different today.
Sorry.
Put your stuff down. A lot of you don't know that a few years ago, God did amazing transformation in this girl's life. She was saved, ready to go to heaven, full of the Holy Spirit. And but God really did an amazing thing in her life. And I can't really put it all into words today, but it was just a transformation. And out of that transformation, God birthed in her a heart for prayer and a heart for fasting and a heart for people like nothing I've ever seen. I've never seen anybody's life transformed in this form. And so I really today, I want you to, she's not just filling in. I didn't need a break. This is very intentional for her to speak to your heart today as we go into this time of prayer and fasting. And so I want to welcome Michelle Bro, our in-house prayer coordinator, and I love her to death.
Love you.
So excited to be with you guys this morning. So did y'all have a great Christmas? Everybody have a great Christmas. I know I just ate way too much. We have this saying around our house, like, we don't like Christmas, we love Christmas. And I'm serious, and it was funny because Sissy, who was probably two or three at the time when she came up with this little phrase, she couldn't even say Christmas right, so it was Kissmas. And so we don't like Christmas, we love Kissmas. And so it's so funny. We just have a ball. If we're not baking cookies every day, I think they think like it's not the holidays. So yeah, we will be working on that during the fast as well this year. So it was funny, I was telling Pastor, I was like, yeah, your jeans say, girl, you ate too much at Christmas, but then your sweatpants are like, oh, you fine. You fine. So anyway, I'm just super excited. I hope I convey what's on my heart. I hope I can convey to you what God did through fasting in my life. And hopefully it'll be a blessing to you and it'll be a tool that you can use. But before we look forward to 2018, I think it's important that we also look back and give God glory for the things that he did in 2017. And we're just standing right on the edge right here. And I look back and I see in this year so many times when God bombarded us because we said yes to him. And so we started last year on January 7th with our first annual night of prayer and worship at the Columbia Theater. And do you know, because this house said yes to that, there were people in the room that honestly could not stand to be in one another's presence, and they were then praying for one another. We also saw a lady who came in. She had been run over in a car. She came in a walker. I think it was her only third time of hearing Jesus, and she left without a walker. And when we saw her at One Louisiana in April, she was still healed, and she was serving God with all of her heart. See, because we said yes to that, then we said yes to One Louisiana. And because we said yes to that, we have this alliance now with Bethel. And we had a group that came in just specifically to evangelize the city. And from there was healings all over the city. There was food that was handed out before One, just loving on people. There was a lady that had a stroke that like limbs and stuff started moving that had never moved before. And see, but saying yes was further than that, because if it wasn't yes for One, then we wouldn't have Matt and Allison here that just came in town last weekend, who they're wanting to train us to evangelize our city. So our yes, and Hannah Maggio wouldn't even be at Bethel. And so because we said yes to that, it's amazing what happens with our yes. This year, our kids so beautiful. I got to witness at Kids Ramp. Oh my gosh, tons of them filled with the Holy Spirit. Tons of them operating in the prophetic. Tons of them operating in healing. They are just stepping out in what all God has for them at such a young age, and it's just catapulting us into this year. And then we had Servolution. Oh my word. Tons of people, 1,000, 1,500, I think, were served all over this city, and they were loved on. The stories that came back about how just suddenlies in their life. So I cannot begin to tell you, when we say yes to God and to His plan, what all happens. Like you can't despise the small things, because the small things catapult you into so much more and greater. And guess what? It's most of the time not even about you. It's about all the lives that you're affecting. It's just such a beautiful plan, such a beautiful plan. And so we just give Him praise. The other thing is, I saw so many of you guys just so spiritually hungry this year. God, do such amazing things, stepping out in the prophetic, stepping out in words of knowledge, letting Him heal deep places in your heart. All because you said yes to Him. Like, yes, because He's such a gentleman. He just allows us. He allows us the opportunity. It's such an invitation, an opportunity to be able to be loved by Him. So beautiful. So beautiful. So arise, shine, for your light has come. If we can post on the screen, Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the people, but the Lord will arise upon you, and His glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. And do you realize that the only thing in this verse that actually has something to do with you is arise? Everything else, the only thing, see, it's an invitation. It's an invitation to the rest of the whole scripture. Arise, what does it mean? It means to actually wake up and to get out of a sitting position or a lying position, to wake up and arise. But it can also mean to come into everything that you were meant to be. Arise also means to come into everything that you were meant to be. See, as sons and daughters of God, we can come into everything that we were meant to be when we just say yes and arise. So the first 20 days, that's what we're doing. We're setting this time aside. And the music couldn't have been better this morning. Ashley couldn't have been better. Pastor couldn't have been better, because it's exactly what God is speaking at this moment, at this time. When you get me, you get the whole package. That's what He's saying. When you get me, you get the whole package. So the first 20 days, what are we doing? We're setting them aside with fasting and prayer. We're making declarations. And some of you may not be familiar with what declarations are, but declarations are actually the way that things are handled in the kingdom. And since we're in the kingdom of God, we just come into agreement with what heaven says about the situation. That's all we have to do. We don't have to beg. We don't have to plead. All we have to do is say yes to the kingdom of God and come into agreement with the kingdom of God. So on these declarations, that's all we're doing. We're just declaring over our kids who they are. We're just declaring over our women who they are. We're just declaring over our men who they are. So the first 20 days, we're going to do this in unity. And if I could tell you, there was so much distraction, when the Lord placed it in my heart to do the 20 days, there was so much distraction. There was so much warfare that came against it that I know it seems simple, but there's something about us all binding together in unity and declaring the same thing on the same day. And we will see heaven move. We will see heaven move when we're together and we're declaring the same thing. So if you guys know me, I love food. I mean, I really think like Gary Chapman completely got it wrong. You know, the five love languages? I mean, because the sixth one is absolutely food. I mean, even our grandma always told us the best way to a man's heart is through his stomach. Through his stomach. I mean, we went this weekend to this past week. I had friends in town. We celebrated two birthdays on top of Jesus's birthday, and we went to the best restaurant, Del Porto. Oh my gosh, it was ridiculous on how good it was. Scallops, and they had like this sashimi tuna with these chips. Oh my gosh, y'all, it was unbelievable. And so I love food. And you know, and I really see it in scripture, honestly. Every time you turn around, Jesus was like, come on, I got some fish for you guys. Let's eat. And so there is definitely something about breakthrough in community surrounded by food. No doubt. But then there's also a time, well, hold on, because we even see, you know, in Psalm 23, where you're sitting at the table in front of the presence of your enemies, and what is he doing? He's laying out a banquet, and we lock eyes with him in the presence of our enemies, and he's just singing over us. So we see that. We see that food's awesome. It's awesome. I love feasting and believing. But then there's the other side. The other side is sometimes for our breakthrough, we need to back away from the table. And it's not something we like to talk about very often. We always, you know, feasting and believing is much more fun. Much more fun. However, there's a side to fasting and praying that is addictive. And I'm here to tell you this morning that if you can get into a place where you say yes to this invitation, this beautiful invitation of fasting and prayer, it will radically change your life. So what is fasting? Fasting is actually abstaining from food, period. It's not electronics. It's not, I'm not going to watch TV. It's not, now those things are awesome. And I have seen incredible breakthrough in my life with those things. However, those are spiritual disciplines. They're not fasting. Fasting is abstaining from food or certain foods for religious purposes. So we often see, like, so then you go into, okay, well, who fasted in the Bible? We have Moses fasted for 40 days on the mountain. We have Elijah fasted for 40 days. We had Jesus fasted for 40 days. Then we see Daniel twice. He fasted, and it was, we call it a Daniel fast. He abstained from certain foods, from bread and from sugar. And see, the thing is, there's something we can all do. Because we're not all called to the same fast. Maybe we're not all called to a water-only fast. Maybe some of us are called to a juice fast. Maybe some of us are called to a Daniel fast, which in my opinion is much harder than any other, like just cutting food out altogether. Just side note. Because you're thinking about food like literally all day long. And so that's kind of not the point. In my opinion, Daniel was the bomb. Then we have Esther. She fasted for 3 days. No water, no food. So there's all sorts of fasts that you could possibly do. And the biggest thing is it's personal to you. So whatever God places upon your heart to do is what you need to do. So why do we fast? What is the point? So if we go to Luke chapter 5, verse 33, do you have that? Okay, awesome. Jesus' critics questioned him. John the prophet is known for leading his disciples to frequently fast and pray. As the religious leaders of the land, we do the same. Why do you and your disciples spend most of your time feasting at banquets? Jesus replied, should you make the sons of the bridal chamber fast while celebrating with the bridegroom? But when the bridegroom is taken away from them, then you will see them fasting. So what's the point here? So the point is that John the Baptist's disciples came to him. And John the Baptist, we also see fasting as a forerunner to Jesus. So John the Baptist's disciples come to Jesus and say, why are y'all always feasting and believing? What is going on here? Because the rest of us here, us and the Pharisees, we're always fasting and you're not. So what's the point? Jesus says, because they're already with me. So this is a huge key to the kingdom right here. They're already with me right now, so there's no point in them fasting. So we would have to deduce then that because when he's not with them any longer in the physical, the way to get to him is through fasting. So we see here that the thing about fasting is it gets you to him. And when you get him, you get everything else. That's what's so cool. And I just have not found in my personal life, I have not found something that gets you there quicker than fasting. There's nothing that I have found that actually gets you to the face of God quicker than fasting. It just seems to expedite, for whatever reason, it expedites your experience with him. Prayer is incredible. Prayer changes things. There's no doubt it changes things. But when coupled with fasting, you have, it's like an atomic bomb going off. So what happens? All of a sudden, when we fast, all the things that are pulling on our attention, everything that's distracting us from him, actually is torn away from us, and we hear him so clearly. He then becomes the loudest voice in the room when we fast. It's amazing. I can't even explain how that happens because really you're only hungry for about 3 days. Honestly, you're only hungry and you're breaking habits for about 3 days. And then it's actually easy. If I can, honestly, then it's actually pretty easy. It's a made up mind, but it's the hunger pains have left you. But oh, his voice. His voice is so loud. It becomes the loudest voice in the room, and the enemy's voice and your voice are drowned out because you hear him so clearly. So fasting, we also see detoxes the body. There's all sorts of things. They had this documentary recently that was on, I think it was either Amazon or Netflix, on fasting alone. And all they did was prescribe fasting for all sorts of ailments. And it was not for religious purposes. It was strictly for health purposes. And the numbers were astronomical. It was like 60% were healed. And so, you know, that's the way of the kingdom, though. That's the way God operates, is that it's so interesting how not only spiritually does it help you, but physically it helps you as well. Because he's good like that. It was his, fasting was always his idea to begin with. So how do we fast? And this was one of the main things that the Lord spoke to me about this service today, in that there is a difference between fasting as an orphan and fasting as a son and a daughter. There's such a difference. And see, it's almost been 2 years now, and Pastor kind of touched on it a little bit, radically changed my life. I came up for, it was at the end of a Monday night prayer. There's so much that happens on Monday nights. It's amazing what happens on Monday nights. So everybody was gone. It was Tim and I and another couple were here, and Pastor was here. And I got this unction like, you know what, Pastor? You love people more than anybody that I've ever met. And I want what you have. And at that point, he praised the baptism of love on me, radically changed. I mean, I instantly felt things break off of me. I instantly felt a love for people that I had not had. And, you know, it's easy to love people who are lovable. That's easy. What's not easy is loving people who are, you know, not lovable, loving your enemies, loving people who truly don't deserve to be loved. You know, those are the hard ones, and those are the ones that we're called to love. Even the Bible says it's easy to love people who are lovable. Even a sinner can do that. But we're called to love the unlovable. That's what we're called to do. So at that point, I mean, the Lord just did this amazing work in my life. And from there, it spins me into this 40-day fast. And at the time, I had no clue what I was up for. I had no idea that it was going to be 40 days. All I knew is I was fasting because I heard him clearer than I had ever heard him before. And I'm fasting because I want more of what I just got. And so spins me into this 40-day fast. And in the meantime, I hear God, because I'm like, okay, why is it like all these things have broken off of my life? You know, I had rejection, I had father issues, I had so many walls built up. And all of a sudden the walls start coming down and I can actually feel again. And I'm like, why does all this happen? Well, and I hear the Lord say, it's just like Solomon, he asked for the right thing. You ask for love, so you get all these other things and these other benefits along with it when you ask for the right thing. And see, at that moment, I had so much rejection on my life, so much rejection that I couldn't have real relationships. I might have had 5 or 6 people who truly knew me. But the fast then started, from the fast, opened up into beginning to dream with God and beginning to say, okay, God, what's on your heart today instead of what's on my heart? See, an orphan goes for what's on my heart. An orphan begs. You're not a beggar. It's not who you are. You boldly come to his throne room. We boldly declare who we are. We boldly declare that we are healed in Jesus' name. You see, we don't have to beg. All we have to do is rest in him. So as soon as I started resting in him, then I realized I can dream with him. And he wants to dream with me. And there's all these dreams inside of me that I had no idea were even there. But he starts bubbling them up, saying, oh, baby girl, you were made for more than this. You weren't made to be an orphan. You weren't made to beg. You're made to rest in my presence. Come to daddy's house. Everything you need's in the refrigerator, and you have the rights to it. So beautiful. So beautiful what fasting can do. It's not performance-based. In orphan spirits always, how much more can I do? It becomes works. And then we leverage our works and say, oh, but you didn't show up here, God. We leverage our works and say, oh, but I, as an orphan, I fasted 40 days, so you need to do this. That's an orphan spirit. But what God does, when we come as a son and a daughter, we don't have to perform for him. We don't have to strive. We abide in him. We bring heaven down. It says we're seated together in heavenly places. So we actually bring heaven down. We don't pull on heaven. You see, identity is found in the secret place. And that's the thing about fasting, is he then covers you with identity. And it's found in the secret place. And here's the deal, and this is one of the things that he pointed out to me for this service, is that if we get our identity out of the secret place, all of our affirmation comes from him. But if it actually comes from a place of in the public eye, if you're getting your affirmation from man, you'll never own up to it. You'll continue going after man's approval and man's affirmation of you instead of God's affirmation of you. And in the secret place is the place where we actually find the affirmation from God. So part of who he is and a part of who his nature is that he is a rewarder. He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. And, you know, oftentimes we kind of plug this into like the prosperity message or something and say, oh, you know, kind of blab it and grab it message. But no, he is a rewarder. And we see and I do you have that one in Matthew chapter 6? Yes, look at you. You're awesome. Okay, when you fast, don't look like those who pretend to be spiritual. They want everyone to know that they're fasting, so they appear in public looking miserable, gloomy, and disheveled. Believe me, they already received their full reward. So you see automatically there is a reward for fasting. When you fast, don't let it be obvious, but instead wash your face, groom yourself, and realize that your Father in the secret place is the one who is watching all that you do in secret and will continually reward you openly. So to see, there's a reward to fasting, but your reward is him. See, here's the deal. It all goes back to this. Your reward is him. And when you have him, you have it all. You have the whole refrigerator and everything in it. All you got to do is open the door and grab it. Your reward is peace. Your reward is joy. Your reward, it's all these things broken off of you. Isaiah 58 talks about how all these things, that healing comes in fasting, that the yoke is broken in fasting. So he's a rewarder. When fasting, there's no condemnation. So let's talk about this for a second. No condemnation in fasting. You mess up, you get back on the track. It's important. Self-talk is actually pretty important. And during the first 40-day fast, one of the things that happened was that there were some things that kept saying that I was to go 30 days. And there was some things that were going on that really showed me, okay, 30 days. Well, as 30 started getting closer, and I'm thinking, you know, like, okay, soon I'll break this, I started seeing the number 40, you know, just seeing it about, you know, like, and I'm like, okay, are you speaking, God? Are you speaking? And he's like, yes. He's like, I am so well pleased at 30. Now, this is how he talks to us. This is really how he talks to us. He doesn't beat us up. I'm so well pleased at 30. You can stop at 30, but your promise is at 40. So it's just an invitation. That's all it is. It's an invitation to him. And that's how we talk. And, you know, so often we don't want to hear the things that maybe come up during fasting. Because things will come up. Our insecurities will come up. The things that aren't necessarily like his heart, they'll come up. But this is how he brings them up. Let's just shift your thinking. Let's just shift. Let's just move a little bit. And he'll just course correct you gently. And then there's times whenever it's a hard course correction, but guess what? He always backs it up with his love. But if you don't know that you're a son and a daughter, you won't feel that. So then all you know is the hard course correction. You won't feel the soft moving and the tenderness of his heart towards you. And you won't feel that love for you as he course corrects you, even hard. There's been times when he's been hard on me, but then all of a sudden his love comes in like a flood. That my daughter, who I'm well pleased.
So good.
Self-talk is important because the enemy will use fasting every time. Every time we mess up, oh, you couldn't do that. There was a time when I first got in church and I tried to do 3 days. And I was like, oh, you did the cross for me, Jesus. I can do 3 days for you. And you know, of all things, a turkey sandwich like completely like did me in. I was like, that's the best looking turkey sandwich I've ever seen in my life. I have to eat it. And I beat myself up. I mean, I probably beat myself up for years over that. Over I couldn't even do 3 days for him. I couldn't. Oh my gosh. That's not how he does us. He is so well pleased with you. He loves your sacrifice. Your heart moves him. Just your heart to want to fast moves him towards you. That doesn't give you an out. But his heart loves you. And loves your any sacrifice. And every time we see fire always falls on sacrifice. So whatever sacrifice you bring to him, maybe it's, I'm just going to cut out coffee, God. Maybe I'm just going to cut out sugar, God. Maybe I'll just do Daniel and I'm going to, you know, I'll eat regular. But everybody can do something, and just your sacrifice to him moves him. And every time we move towards him, he moves towards us. There's always a physical movement that we must make to get more of him. You see it every time. Moses had to climb the mountain. You see the arms of Aaron lifted up. He wants us to respond to him. How much do you love me? How much do you want me? So what are some practical things about fasting? If you give up coffee or sugar, you will have a headache. No doubt. You will have a headache, and you will feel like you have the flu. And it's a good thing. Your body needs it. Your body will thank you later, but in the meantime, on day three, it's tough. I'm not going to lie. Day three is tough. But you press through. There's time. I mean, I really thought, like, I'm going to have to give up fasting this time because I did a juice fast. I guess it was for 7 days one time, and it was for health reasons. And I just kept waking up tired, going to bed tired, waking up tired, and just could not get on top of it. So I juice fasted for 7 days. Day three, I really thought, I'm like, I'm coming down with the flu. I'm going to have to go to the doctor. And all it was my body was detoxing. And then later on, I felt incredible, incredible. There's been times on a fast when I have actually felt better fasting than when I eat. It's crazy. But you have to get to that point. You have to decide that 3 days, okay, for 3 days, I am going to dig in and I'm going to do this. Because it is going to be brutal. I'm not going to lie. If you're addicted, if you drink a pot of coffee a day, it's brutal. And so, and you give up coffee. If you go, if you do water only, or if you do liquid only, make sure and come out very slowly. Don't eat steak as soon as you come out. Done that. It's not very pretty on the other side. So please come off gently. Come off with some fruits and vegetables and whole food, you know, kind of before you just make the plunge back into. It's also starting in the evening is easier. So if you start in the evening and go to the next evening, it's easier than starting on the morning of. And so that's just one thing that kind of helps. And then ride the wave of grace. If you make fasting a lifestyle, ride the wave of grace, because you'll start seeing it. You'll start becoming really, honestly, your body feels so good and you hear him so clearly that you can become addicted. Like I told you, it's addictive because you do feel so good. And so, and then you start listening and hearing, okay, time to fast. Time to fast. And you ride that wave and it makes it so much easier. It's amazing at how much easier it becomes when you hear his voice and he's beckoning you, come away with me. You know, because I don't want to have any other lovers but him. At the end of the day, I want him to be everything. Everything. In getting him, it encompasses everything you need. Praise him, you can come. So see, prophetically this year, I feel like God's giving us an invitation. It's an invitation to him. But it's up to you to open the gift box. It's up to you to say yes to him as to whether or not you're going to move closer to him. He's not going to do it for you. He's already done everything you need. So now he's waiting on you as an invitation, as a beautiful invitation to more of him. And this year could look amazing in your life, and it could be a year where it's just a line in the sand, a stick in the ground kind of year. You say, wow, look how he moved in my life. It could be that year for you if you accept the invitation, if you accept this beautiful gift that he's given you. In ways to move the kingdom forward in your life. So there was a couple of things I wanted to pray for this morning. The first one, if you have blood sugar issues, raise your hand. Blood sugar issues, okay. Let's do this. Why don't we all stand? And for those of you who do have blood sugar issues, that it makes it difficult maybe to do everything God's called you to do. Because you maybe can't fast completely with blood sugar issues. Just raise your hand. Okay. Keep your hand raised. Okay, church body, look around. See the ones with hands raised. I want you to lay your hands on them and command blood sugar to normalize. For those that are diabetic, we say just a whole new pancreas right now in Jesus' name. Father, we just command healing right now over each and every person that has blood sugar issues. Each and every person, Lord, that has pancreas issues, Lord, with diabetes, Lord, we just command healing right now. We say everything to be normalized in their body. We speak healing and complete health over them right now in Jesus' name. We command it to go. We command it to go. And we say all hormones come into alignment now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Okay, now for those who you want the grace to fast, that maybe you haven't ventured out yet into fasting, maybe some of you already have a lifestyle of fasting, but you just want more, just raise your hand. Grace for fasting right now. So, Father God, we just receive. Actually, put your hands in a receiving mode. Receive it. Father, we just ask for a grace to fast this morning, God. For these next 20 days, Lord, we just ask for your grace to be poured out on each and every person who's saying yes to you and yes to more of you, God. You're going to show up in big ways in their life, God. You're going to, Lord, be the biggest voice in the room for them. So we ask right now, Lord, for more grace to fast, God. We're just saying yes to the invitation this morning. We're saying yes to the invitation this morning. I'm moving and I'm stepping closer to you, God.